Today's daf is Kuf Nun Zayin. We're starting at the Mishnah. Nafal habayit ala va'alaviv. From here we get through the end of the parak. We don't have much time to the end of the parak. We're very close. It's all about safek, who died first. Okay, so the first case is you have a father and a son. So the house collapses on them. Obviously, this would be the same if they died in two different cities on the same day. And the issue is that you don't know who died first. Okay, now we'll talk about what the relevance is about who died first. Obviously, it's going to be, since we're talking about property, if the father dies first, then his property goes to the son.
We've had a whole lot of this before.
Yes.
The orders of death.
So right, the orders of death and what happens. So if the son dies first, for Yibum,
I can't remember what
if there was two brothers, well, then also you would have the two brothers, right? So, okay. So now, nafal habayit alav alaviv, o alav al morishav, or him and people who were supposed to inherit from him, vahaita alav ktubat isha ubal chov. And on this, one of the people who the house fell upon, he had both someone he owed money to, and he had his wife's ktuba he needed to pay, which, right, obviously when he dies, he has to pay the ktuba money. So now, what's the issue? There's not enough money in his possession to pay for both the ktuba and the bal chov. Yorshei ha'av omrim, haben meit rishon, v'achar kach meit ha'av. So those who inherit from the father say, the son died first, and then the father died, meaning that the son doesn't inherit from the father, which means that the son is not going to have enough money to pay back the chovot that he owes. U'balei ha'chov omrim, ha'av meit rishon v'achar kach meit ha'ben. Right? The balei chov claim the father died first, which means that now he inherits part of the father's inheritance, and he now has money to pay. So now what do we do? In other words, everybody claims what's going to suit their best interest. So what's the law? Beit Shammai omrim yachloku, u'beit Hillel omrim nechasim b'chez katan. Okay, Beit Shammai say we split a 50-50 between the people who are owed money and the Yorshim. And Beit Hillel says, no, the Balei Chov don't get anything, and the Nechasim remain in the hands of whoever they're in. So what is this based on exactly? Okay, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the Mefreshim explain. The Beit Shammai holds Yachloku why? Well, let's start with Beit Hillel, actually. What Beit Hillel is based on is Ein Safek Motzimi De Vadai. Now, who Vadai has claim to the Nechasim? The Yorshim. Because either which way, right, if the son dies second, let's say he inherits from the father, but then they inherit from the son, so the property will go back to them. And if the father died first and he doesn't inherit, right, then the money remains in the hands of the owners. In other words, either which way, we don't have proof to say that the chov belongs to the balei chov and the ketubat isha. There's not enough money to go to them, and therefore we say ein safek motzimi de vadai. And either which way, the yorshim, everybody's related here, so they'll all inherit from each other, and they have more rights to the property than some foreign party does. Beit Shammai says no. You're forgetting that there's, well, not that you're forgetting, but Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree about this. There's a concept, we've seen this before, shtar ha'omed legavot. If you have a shtar that says I'm owed money and I owe you, according to Beit Shammai, it's ki gavoy dami. It's as if you've collected it already, because it's such good proof. This actually relates a little bit to what we were talking about a shtar. Is it tzarich l'kayimo or not? As a shtar in itself has a lot of strength. Both of those are saying that a shtar, does it have a lot of strength or does it not have a lot of strength? So according to, it's not the same thing. It's just, I'm just kind of relating it that there's a similar concept going on here. Just if the shtar is omed l'gavot, it's as if you say that money's mine. So therefore, the Baal Chov and the Ketubat Isha, who have a shtar to show for it, it's as if they've collected the money. So therefore, it's a sefek, is it theirs, or is it the Yorshim, and they split it 50-50. According to Beit Hillel, a shtar omed legavot eino kegavoy dame, and therefore ein sefek motzimi de vadai. Okay, Beit Shammai doesn't view it as ein sefek motzimi de vadai, because they're both vadai, because one is a shtar and one has the property. So that's why Beit Shammai says Yachloku, and Beit Hillel says Nechasim b'chezkatan. Okay? Now we're going to get totally off topic, and we're going to see why we bring this in is because our Mishnah is going to potentially provide, we're going to get to a question, and we're going to start with the Mishnah, They're going to ask Shmuel is going to ask a question on the Mishnah, and from there we're going to bring a whole number of sources to try to answer Shmuel's question. And one of the sources that we're going to bring is our Mishnah. Tanan Hatan. It says in the Mishnah there in it's in Bava Batra. Hamilavet chavero b'shtar govem minachasim mishuabadim. Al yidei edim govem minachasim b'nei charim. We've seen this many times. We know this halacha, which is the difference between a milva b'shtar and a milva baal peh. If you have an oral agreement, you said, I borrowed money and nobody wrote anything down in a shtar, so you can only collect it from non-mishuabad property, right? Nechasim b'nei charim, which means that if you sold your property to somebody else, I can't go collecting it from that property. And what's the reason for that? Well, maybe we'll just say the other one and then we'll explain the reasoning, which is if you wrote a shtar, then I can collect it. If you had the property, if it was property that you owned, right? Any property that you own, well, this is going to be part of the question. I want to figure out how I worded it so I don't get into what we're getting to. But basically, let's say you sell it. Okay, we take out a loan in Nissan. Okay, all the property that's in your possession at that point becomes lien to the loan. If you then come Iyar, you sell the property, right? You sell property that you had in your possession then. I'm allowed to go, let's say you lent money to me, I can go and collect it from that property. I can take it out of the hands of the buyer. And why is there a difference between milva b'shtar and milva baal peh? Because the assumption is shtar has a code, people know about it. And if I'm going to go buy property, or someone else in this case, they should check and find out. Now, if it was just a milva baal peh, there's no way they're going to necessarily be able to find out about it because there's two edim somewhere floating around who know, but go find them and how would we ever know? But if there's a shtar, then there's a record and there's an assumption that they'll know, and therefore they should have done their homework properly. Again, if you remember, what?
Like a title search.
Right, exactly, like a title search. Now, the other thing is, generally, though, you might sell it ba'achrayut, so the person who took out the loan, let's say, sold the property with achrayut, which means that if the creditor comes and takes the money away from the buyer can go back to, let's say, I was the borrower, can go back to me and say, hey, reimburse me. Okay, we'll get to that also today. So that's the Mishnah. Okay, very simple. But now, by Shmuel, here comes Shmuel's question. De'ikne, what if I said in the shtar, not only that nechassim that are in my possession now, but something that I'll buy. Let's say, okay, let's change the case. I borrowed money, okay? Then I went and I bought more property in ER. Okay, so that property wasn't in my possession at the time of the loan. And then I sold it in Sivan, okay? So now, is that property that I sold leaned to the loan? Okay, because now if I say, this by the way appears in your ketubas, okay, that it's any property that the husband has and that he will purchase. Okay, so if you add that line, de'ikne, that I will purchase, I already kind of gave away the answer because if it appears in your ketubah, that means that it is the case. But Shmuel's what?
If you say it.
Right, if you say it. Well, Shmuel's question is, if you say it, does it work?
Okay.
There's actually...
yafeh.
So we're going to get into it, Sevar She'eino Baal Olam. We're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? Fine, I'll give you the Pesach Halacha at the end, okay? I won't give the whole thing away.
Yeah.
But, okay, so now we're going to get into exactly what Ruth said, which is Devar Shelo Baal Olam. So here we say, De'ikne Vekana, let's say you say De'ikne, and then someone buys the land, Mahu. Aliba de Rabbi Meir Damar, Baruch Shekivant, Adam Makne Devar Shelo Baal Olam. Right, according to Rabbi Meir, who says, you can be Makne to somebody, Devar Shelo Baal Olam, Lo Tibailach. His question is not according to Rabbi Meir. Because it's obvious that according to Rabbi Meir, if you can purchase something, shelo bala olam, you can also put a lien upon something, she'eno bala olam. But the question is, lo tibayalach devadai kana. For sure you can do it. Ela ki tibayalach aliba de rabbanan. The question is asked, according to Rabbanan de Amre, ein adam makne devar shelo bala olam. Now the Gemara doesn't explain exactly why this would be a question, right? Wouldn't you think like Ruth said, it's Devar Sheino Bala Olam, so how could you possibly have a Shibud upon? However, the Mefarshim all discuss, and there's a lot of different ways to view this, I'll mention a few, as to why one should distinguish. Now, Shmuel's question is a kinyan the same as a Shibud? They're not exactly the same thing. Makne Devar Shelo Bala Olam means, right, you can't pass on or acquire something that what's not in existence. So the Rashbam brings two views as to why we can say that there's a difference. One is, he says, first of all, when we talk about Devar Sheino Bala Olam, we're talking about fruits on a tree, let's say. This is talking about land that is in existence, it's just not in your possession yet. So maybe one can distinguish between those kind of Shelo Bala Olam. Alternatively, or in addition, he asks that he says that maybe this is a takana shelotin ol delet b'fnei lovin. In other words, really, even though generally chachamim say ein adam machne davar shelo bala olam, but people, if it's just going to be the property you have in your hands at the time, then no one's going to lend money because they have such a. And we'll see another takana later that was instituted. We'll talk about later today. Also, shelotin ol delet b'fnei lovin. There's always this concern that if you don't make it easy for the creditor to get his money back, well, he's going to say, sorry, but I'm not going to give you a loan. Those are two options that the Rashbam brings up, but there's a few others that I think are even more interesting, which is another option is to say that a shibud happens on its own. A kinyan happens because you actually do some sort of formal act. So a formal act can't be done on something she'eino bala olam, but a shibud, in theory, could happen by itself. And therefore, since it happens by itself, in other words, I purchased this land, right? I bought this land in ER. At that point, the Shibud just kind of happens. It's not like I have to do anything, okay? And if you take that even farther, or maybe there are two different ones, but you could say like this. When I took out the loan, right? So I want to be, it's basically we're saying, if I say de'ikni, it means I'm going to have a shibud upon something that's going to come later. Now, nothing happens at that point. If I try to do a kinyan on Devar Shelo Bala Olam, so the item's not in existence. But the shibud happens when I actually buy it. So maybe the shibud is happening at a later time. What we're saying is, at that later time when it is Bala Olam, when it is in your possession, then the shibud happens. That's why I think also, I think they work together, those two answers, which is the shibud's chal me'elav. In other words, when there's no shibud at the time of the loan on this future land. It's just that when you buy that land, the shibud's going to click in. Whereas a kinyan, you want to do the kinyan now, at this point in time, when the item doesn't exist. There's a ma'aseh kinyan, and there's a problem with your ma'aseh kinyan. The shibud happens kind of as time goes on. When it becomes in your possession, when it comes into your possession, then the shibud will kind of just fall upon it. So it's different. It's not the same as a kinyan, okay? So there's various reasons why one could say that there's a difference.
Yeah. It's closing a loophole, if you think about it. If I lend you money, or I lend someone money, based on the fact that I think that he has enough money to repay me, he's liquid enough to repay me, then he could easily just take that money, buy a property, and say, well, I bought that after you.
Right. So I think that's a very good point. So, Donna, what you're saying is that basically if you didn't allow this, people would just avoid payment by buying property, but they would have to buy it. The problem is this. It wouldn't work because the issue that we have to understand here is what's the significance of shibud? Shibud, if you sell it and end up with money, or I'm sorry, you buy land, so now you have new land, so long as that land stays in your possession, I can claim it no matter what. The question is if you sold it to somebody else.
Right.
Okay, and the Gemara actually gets confused with it a little bit and then clarifies that it's different when we're talking about the person himself and we're talking about if he sold it to somebody else. But you could claim maybe someone could avoid it by selling all of his stuff and then also he could avoid getting how he would function in general. If he sold everything would be a bit more of an issue. But we're going to see that I can go take it from the clothes off your back. I can take my loan back. So from you yourself, I can. It's just if you sell it to somebody else. Okay. So now we're going to have several attempts to try to answer this question. Amar Rav Yosef, Tashma, v'chachamim omrim, ze haya pikeach shemachar lo et hakarka mipnei sheechol lemashkeno. Okay, so first of all, we have to understand what this case is. Okay, you can look in the Rashbam, Amar Rav Yosef, Tashma, detan perek shnei dayanim, gzeirot b'ktuvot, Hamotzi shtar chov al chaveru, because without this beginning, you don't really understand what they're talking about. If you take out a shtar chov on your friend, V'halau tishtar shekatubo shemacharlo et hasadeh malve lelove achar shenichtav hashtar hashtar chov shumotzi alav. Let's say, we've seen this case before in Ketubot, obviously. Let's say I borrow money from you. And then you need money. So you sell your property in order to get money. Now, who do you happen to sell it to? You sell it to me. Now, if you sold your property to me, again, you have to assume the reason why people are selling property is because they need money. Now, you sold your property to me. I gave you money for the property. Then you come to me, let's just do it on a chronological, okay? So Nisan, I borrow money from you. Iyar, you come and sell me your property for money and I give you money for the property. We have like a sale having nothing to do with the loan. And Sivan, you come and say, give me my money back that you borrowed. And I look at you and I say, what are you talking about? I don't owe you money. And my proof is that if I owed you money, you would have come to me in ER to collect my money. You wouldn't have sold me your land. Why would you have sold me your land if I actually owed you cash? You would have just taken the cash back. You would have insisted, I'm not selling you my land until you pay me back your loan. So the fact that you sold me property stands as proof, according to Admon, okay? So Admon Omer, Yachol halove liton ilu chayav hayiti lecha, hayalecha lefurat shalcha mimeni. Velo hayalecha limkor likarka, shvil tzorach ma'ot. Okay, he says, I'm just reading in the Rashbam there. So Admon says, in that case, the Lova can claim, I don't owe you anything, and my proof is that you came and sold me land for money. Otherwise, you should have just come and collected your loan. But now back to our Gemara. Chachamim disagree with Admon, and they say, okay, I gave the example that Shari sold me the land, that she loaned me the money and then sold me property. So Zeha Yapikech, Shari was very smart. Why did she do it? Shemacharlo et hakarka, mipnei shu yachol lemashkino alav. Why did Shari sell me land? So that when she comes, she wanted me to have land. So that in case I sold my land, she can go collect it from somebody else. Okay? Or, the truth is, I shouldn't even actually say it that way, because I'm actually jumping to say that he sold it. But actually, the pshat here is, and we'll see the way the Gemara understands, is the point is that Shari wanted me to have land so it would be easier for her to collect her loan from me. Okay? And that's where the problem is going to come in using this as a proof. So now, what do they want to prove from here? This would be a good proof to say what? This would be a case where I took out a loan in Nisan, I bought the land in Iyar, and what do you see? The land is mishuabad to Shari, because the whole idea of Chachamim is Shari wants me to have the land so that she can collect the loan from it. But then that's going to go back to what Donna said, which is Amar le'Rava, minei ka'amar. But you're talking about Shari collecting from me, that she wanted me to have land so she'd collect from. But minei afilu miglima da'al kachve. She could even come and collect it from my clothes, my metaltalin. Okay? So therefore, ki kamibaylam, the question of his what Shmuel's question was de'ikni kana u'machar, or de'ikni kana v'horishmai. This doesn't teach us anything, because here Shari just wanted me to have land to collect it. The question of Shmuel is, does it work? In other words, you could say there that Shari wanted me to have land to collect it from, so, you know, for whatever reason she wanted me to have land, maybe she thought it would last longer than money, right? If I just had cash, maybe I'll spend all the cash, I'll have nothing left. But that has absolutely nothing to do with Shmuel's question. Because what the Gemara is saying, Shmuel's question is, if I say de'ikni, and then kana, right, and then I acquired land, I bought the land in Iyar, and then machar, I sold it, or de'ikni, I said de'ikni, then, or the malve wrote de'ikni, right, that or the love was mishabed, right, anything I buy in the future, then I bought, and then horish, and then either I sold, or I bequeathed, right? In other words, I died, and my land went to, let's spell that word right now, bequeath. Okay? And then my land went to my yorshim. So then, once that happens, and it's no longer me directly, that's the question. Okay? So now we don't really have an answer to there from Shmuel's question. That didn't answer his question. So now we're going to try to figure out. Amar Rav Chana, Tashma, let's learn from here. And now we're going to quote our Mishnah. Nafal habayit alav va'al aviv, alav va'al morishav. Vayta alav ktubat isha u'bal chov. Yorshei ha'av omrim, haben me rishon, v'achar kach me ta'av. U'balei chovot omrim, here's the important part, ha'av me rishon, meaning what? This would be a classic case of, if the father dies first, The son then inherits the property, right? So he gets the property, right? This would be kana de ikni, right? And then he's kana. He acquires the property. And then what happens after? He dies a second later, and then he bequeaths it to his children. So that would be a classic case. And what do you see from here? If the Baalei Chov are claiming we have rights to that property, it must be because it was de'ikne, and the de'ikne can be mishuabad to a loan. Okay, so v'isalkadatach de'ikne kana umachar de'ikne kana v'horish lo mishtabed. If you want to say that this case would not be mishuabad, nihinami da'av me bereisha de'iknehu. Right, if the father. We said that if the father dies first, right, then he would acquire it. So therefore, how could it possibly be? So, according to right now, what we want to try to say is that de'ikni would be mishuabad, and how do we know it? Because the Baal Chov can claim from the morishim that he gets rights to it, or at least he's trying to claim that, right? So now, Amar lehu Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman Rav Nachman says, Ze'era chavrin tirgama. Okay, this means, right, that Ze'era...
Our friend Ze'era.
Oh, our friend, okay. Our friend Ze'era explained that there's a different reason here. It's not because there's a shibud. That's not why the Baal Chov can claim it from the Yorshim. There's a separate issue going on here entirely. What's the issue? Mitzvah ali yatomim lefrachovat avihen. There's a unique mitzvah here. Really, technically speaking, they don't have to. But the Chachamim instituted, there's a mitzvah that the Yatomim mishum kibud av, because it'll look bad if the father doesn't return his loans and the people say, oh, we lent money to this guy, he never returned it, now we're never getting the money back. So as part of kibud av, it's a mitzvah for Yatomim to return the chavod of their parents. Now, that's what he says. So therefore he says it's a totally different issue. But Rav Ashi doesn't accept this. Matkifla Rav Ashi says, if you want to say that there's actually no shibud, then what? What did we say about shibudim? The shibud is only on a milva b'shtar, right? If it's a milva al peh, there's no shibud. So comes Rav Ashi and he says like this. If you're going to say that there's no shibud on the stuff that kana u behorish, then that land that we're talking about that was passed down from the father to the son and then the son died and bequeathed to his yorshim, that land connected in connection with this loan is like a milva al peh, because it can't be collect, right? There's no shibud, there's no lien. So therefore, that part of the loan, in other words, if you want to collect it from there, it's viewed as like a milva al peh. It's not a milva al peh because there was a shtar here, but he's saying, since you say that it doesn't work, the shibud, it's therefore a loan without a lien. If it's a loan without a lien, it's like a milva al peh. And why is that significant? Rabbi Shmuel, now this is important, it's Shmuel himself who asked the question, Damar Travayu, Milva Peh, Eno Gover, Lomana Yorshim, Lomit Halikuchot. So what do you see here? Even though it's a mitzvah, the Frochavad Avihen, that only applies by a Milva Bishtar. So this aspect, if the father died, brought to the son gave to his Yorshim, and the son had owed the money, and the money he owed he didn't have in his possession, and it wasn't leaned, right, and it only became leaned after his, you know, like a second before his death, and then, right, and it was de'ikni case, where the land came into his possession later, that only has status of milva b'shtar, I'm sorry, milva baal peh, in which case, the whole halacha that you claim is all relevant, that the it's mitzvah l'itom, the parochav out of the hand, is not even relevant there. And therefore, based on that, he says, that's not a good answer. That's not a good way to use this source. Okay. In other words, you can't say it's a mitzvah yatomim. Okay, so therefore, we're left with the issue that it sounds like it is mishuabad. So that should answer Shmuel's question. But now they say, no, it doesn't necessarily answer Shmuel's question to tell us that you can't have a shibud on that loan. Because elahamane, Rabbi Meir, he damar, damakne davar, shalom ba'al olam. You can very simply say that that source is all aliba de Rabbi Meir. If you say it's a leave it to Rabbi Meir, then it tells us nothing about Chachamim. Okay, so we're going to see this answer appear other times also. So they're basically going to say, if you think that this source shows it's Meshuabad, because we nix the fact that it can't be Mitzvah Lefra Nechsei Yatomim, Mitzvah Yatomim Lefra Nechsei Avihem, Lefra Chovat Avihem, therefore, we could just say it's Rabbi Meir, and it doesn't teach us anything about Chachamim. Remember, the whole question was only a libid of Chachamim. Rabbi Meir, it's obvious. If Adam Achnei Devar Shalom Ba'alam, then obviously you can have a shibud on this. Okay? wanted to... Right, I want to talk about this mitzvah liyatomim. I wanted to mention that, first of all, it's not just, oh, it's a good thing for the yatomim to do this mishum kibur av'eim, but apparently the court can enforce this. If there's land, now, they can only enforce it if there's land. We've learned this before, that if there's land, the court can come in and say the yatomim have to pay back the loan. If there's only metaltalim from the father's estate, they can't come and do that. However, I talked about takanot that they instituted to make it better for the people who lend money. The Geonim, and we talked about this before also, but I'm reminding you, the Geonim institute a takana that even if they have metaltalim, then the court can go and demand the loan back from the Yatomim. And that's because otherwise people will never lend money, thinking the guy's going to die and I'll never get my money back. Okay, so therefore they made it very easy for the people to get loans. Obviously it didn't protect the Yatomim as much, but it protected them in the sense that their fathers could get loans. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to help anybody if no one can get loans.
But only if there's a shtar. Not an oral loan.
Right, not an oral loan. Right, an oral loan, then there's no mitzvah. Then it just doesn't apply. Okay, next source. Amar Rav Yaakov min Har Pekod Mishmei de Ravina. Tashma, let's try to derive it from here. Shtarei chov hamukdamin, psulin, hamu'ucharin, ksherin. Okay, what does this mean? Right, let's say you put a date, okay, let's go back to our, we took out a loan in Nisan. But the date on the shtar was Tishrei before, okay? Or let's just say Adar, a little easier than you. Okay, so let's say the shtar was dated Adar. It's not true that we did the loan in Adar. We did the loan in Nisan, but for some reason the shtar says Adar. That's obviously a pasul shtar. Why is it pasul? Because then, let's say I sold land in between Adar and Nisan. So, since we only took the loan out in Nisan, the land I sold beforehand is not Meshuabad, not lien to the loan. But if the shtar says Adar, in theory, the person who the creditor can go to the person who bought the property between Adar and Nisan and claim the land, take it back, and really it doesn't belong to him. So, therefore, shtar chov hamukdam is clearly pasul. According to this, hamu'ucharin ksherin. But if your shtar says Sivan, let's say, instead of Nisan, okay, then it's a good shtar. Now they're going to say, Isal kadatach de ikne kana umachar, or de ikne kana vahorish, lo mishtabed, our case, is not meshuabad, then mucharina maik sherim. De iknihu, right? That would be a case of ikni, right? Basically, you're going to have, if it says Sivan, and let's say I bought land in Iyar, so if I bought land in Iyar and you say it's not lien to the property, what will happen? If the shtar says Sivan, then we're going to assume anything that's in my possession in Sivan, which is the land I bought in Iyar, which I subsequently sell in Tammuz, let's say, I sell later on. We're going to assume, since the date is Sivan, that property is lien. But really it's not, because the loan was really taken in Nisan, and this land came into my possession later. So that proves that, again, it is Meshuabad. Because if it wasn't Meshuabad, we wouldn't allow this shtar Me'uchar. Okay, so now the Gemara says again, no, we can very simply say, Hamane Rabbi Meir hi, Damar, Damakne, Dabar Shalom Balalam. We can assume that this source goes a libet to Rabbi Meir, who has no problem with being Makne Dabar Shalom Balalam, and therefore, De'ini Kano Machar, De'ikne Kano Morish, would be okay. You could say it's leaned. That's only according to Rabbi Meir, but it wouldn't answer a question. What about according to Chachamim? Okay. Next attempt at a proof. Amar Rav Mashar Shia Mishmei Derava. Tashma. L'shevach karkaot ketzad. Harei shemachar shadech havero v'yishbicha. Uba balcho v'tarfa. Okay, let's get the case straight. Okay, I borrow money from Shari. Okay. I then sell my property to Judy, and what happens? Judy invests in the property in the meantime. Now, I sold it to her b'achrayut. I said, if Shari comes to take her loan back from the property I'm selling you, then you can come back and demand the money from me. In the interim, Judy is mashpiach the land. Okay, most people say it's not talking about if the land just went up in value on its own, but Judy invests in it. It goes up in value. What happens? Shari comes, takes back the land. Okay? So now, what happens? She takes the land, including the shevach. Okay? How do I know this? Because the Gemara says now, Kishahu Goved, the who here is Judy. When Judy comes to me to get her money back for the land that Shari took away from her, for the loan that I owed Shari, she comes to me, so Goved HaKeren Minechasim Meshuabadim, she can get the principal from any of my lien property, anything that I owned it beforehand, right, she can take. Vet HaShevach Minechasim B'nei Chorin. And the Shevach, she can demand from me only from Nechasim B'nei Chorin, not only from property that I own, that's in my possession right now, and not property I sold to other people. What's implicit, clear from here, though? That the Shevach goes to Shari. How does Shari have any rights to the Shevach? If the property was leaned from the time I took out the loan, and not from the future, right, anything to Ikni, then what will we say? Shari gets only what I had in my possession, which was the karka. But she can't take the shevach. She would have to leave the shevach. Now, how you would do that exactly, I assume she would just leave Judy with the monetary value of the shevach. Because what's the idea? I assume, this is the only way I can assume this, but let's say the loan was 100 shekels, and let's say the land was worth 75, and then plus the shevach, it's worth 25. So instead of Shari saying, well, I can only take 75, the land itself, and I'll go find 25 from some other property that I sold to somebody else, instead, she could take this one piece of land with the shevach in place of the 100 that I owe her. So what does that prove? The shevach, it's clear from here that she could take the shevach because it says that Judy can demand the shevach back from me. So therefore, what do we see? That the shevach, again, is leaned, and the shevach is something that came from the, in the future. Didn't exist at the time of the loan. So, let's read it inside. Right? If we say it's not meshuabah, right? How could the Baal Chov possibly take the shevach? So again, what do we answer? Ha-mane Rabbi Meir hi ta'amar adam makneh davar shelo ba'al olam. Okay, so basically, we say, again, that source doesn't provide us any proof because we could just say that that source is Rabbi Meir. Okay, we don't end up with an answer to this question. Okay, however, the Mefarshim al Paskin that de'ikni kano umocher or de'ikni kano umorish is mishuabad. Okay, there is a shibud on it, and ad kedei kach that they say that not only that, but the Rama quotes the Yesh Omrim that even if you didn't, if you remember, by the way, let's just before we even get to this. If you remember, there's something called achrayut ta'ut sofer. Do you remember that term? That term means that if Judy, in our case, I sold the land to Judy and I didn't sell it, I didn't write in the shtar, I'm selling it by achrayut. Some people hold there's a machloket about it, and we pasken that way, that there's achrayut anyway. It's ta'ut sofer, meaning the fact that they didn't write it in the shtar was just a mistake. It's obviously included.
It's like you get your ketubah.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's a little bit like, it's a little different because something else, that's called, it's ikabe, beitim. What's it called? Ikabe tanai beitim. It's like a tanai beitim, the ketubah. But this is also, it's a similar type idea where even if it's not written, we assume it was written. So now they go so far as to say, there's a yesh omrim that says, even if you didn't say de'ikni, it's also ta'ud sofer. Okay, and it's basically implicit in any agreement that we're not just talking about money that's yours right now, property that's yours right now, but even property that you acquire along the way and sell will also be leaned. And that's obviously anything you own before and sold before is not included. That was what we talked about before, the shtar mukdam. But shtar mu'uchar, right, and anything you sell, and the shtar mu'uchar is okay because anything you sell later is included.
It's obvious though,
because
the lien is on the person, not on the property. So it seems like
it should be obvious. Why should it not be obvious? Because the assumption is at the time that we take the loan, I'm saying my property is lien to, but my property that exists right now. Who's to say that? I could be talking about future property. And some of the Mefarshim say it's not true. Only if you say de'ikni, and that's why our ketubot say it. Because if you didn't write it, it wouldn't be implied. Now it could be most people are machpid to write it. But it wouldn't be implied because, again, it goes back to this whole thing. It's a shibud like a kinyan. Now, kinyan you can't do on something that's not in your possession right now. But I can't be mocking you something that I don't own right now.
No, I understand. But it really, like, let's say Judy defaults. And the loan is on
her. Or I default, you're saying. Right, in the case we took. I default
right.
on the loan.
You default on the loan. I should be able to come after you for everything you have.
So, again, it's everything I have. But you have to remember, Judy, who buys something from me, she has to be protected somehow. How far are we going to take it? Are we going to say that it's only land that was in my, I owed at the time of, I owned at the time of the loan that I then sold to a third party? And obviously you could take from, that's what we said before, even from my glima, you could take my cloak, you could take my clothes, you could take anything from me if I owe you money. But if I don't have it anymore, then the question is it only land that I leaned to you at the time? And what kind of, that's what shibud. Shibud means that this is, right, this is lien. So the question is, how can I create a lien on property that didn't exist at the time I made the agreement with you?
But you don't have nothing. You've gone ahead and bought more property afterwards.
Right.
So I'm saying, why can't you go after, if you don't have
But money. Again, I bought more property after, but then I sold it to someone. It's no longer in my possession. So that's the whole question. And that's why they do side more on saying, number one, even if you didn't say it, some of the Mefarshim say, it's as if you said it, and it's definitely lien to you. But some say, no, only if you specify that it's going to include future nechassim will it include it. But everyone agrees that if you for sure specify, then it definitely is included.
It sounds similar to when people take like their title of their house out of their name and put it like in their spouse's name to protect themselves.
Right, that's true. It is true. Mm-hmm.
You say that what if the land improves in value? What if it
goes down in value?
Because of something that the...
That's a good question. So then... Right. I think Shari would just lose out. They just will only get... She would have to find other land to make up the value. She'd have to find other land that I had sold or that I owned.
I think we learned that. Like if there's Nezek. I think we learned this a little while ago. If somebody damages the land...
The question is, I lose out basically because I sold you that land. That land is now worth less, and when Shari takes it, I'm going to still owe more money. And I don't think there's any other way to look at it. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to ask, since we don't really have an answer to that, Imtim Tzalomer de Ikni Kana Umachar de Ikni Kana Bahorish Lo Mishtabed Halo Mishtabed. And so what's the saying? If we're going to say that, then... I think they're just saying, if we're going to say that, then fine, we can say it's not. Just one second. Right, okay. Yeah, this is a weird way of saying it, but okay. If you're going to say it's not Meshuabad, then it's not Meshuabad, but I think what they're basically saying is, then this question is irrelevant, okay? And if you go that way, imagine a flow chart, right? If you go that way, it's going to end right there. It's going to be obvious. It's not Meshuabad. But now they're going to ask a further question. Im timtza lomar de ikni kana umachar de ikni kana bahorish. I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. Im timtza lomar mishtabed. I went back a few lines by accident. But if you want to say it is mishuabad or mishtabed, okay, it does become leaned. Then what if lava v'lava v'chazar v'kana mahu? Okay, we've learned this before that if someone takes out a loan. Someone borrows money, and then after someone else borrows money, so the person who borrows the money has first dibs to get the possessions back, right? But now, if he lends to both people, okay, like let's say there's not enough, and there's only one piece of land, and I sold, okay, so I made a loan in Nissan, I made another loan in Iyar, okay, loan number one, loan number two, and then I sold land that was in my possession at the time of the first loan. Okay, I sold that land. So loan the first borrower has first dibs to the land. But if I did loan number one in Nisan, loan number two in Iyar, and then in Sivan I bought more land after both loans had already been in existence, does one have more rights? Does the first borrower have more rights to that land? Because, remember, when he took out the loan, I didn't have that land. Okay? So this is really, does the shibud happen at the moment of the loan, even on something that doesn't exist? Or does the shibud, like I said in the beginning, maybe the reason why this works when it doesn't work by Kenyan is because the shibud kicks in later. So when the shibud kicks in when I buy the land, well, both of them have equal rights because they're both creditors. They're both borrowers at that point. So they're both debtors. So now, so imtim tzalomar mishtabed lo lava v'lava v'chazar v'kana mahu Lekama mishtabed or lebatra mishtabed? Okay, is it to the first one does he have more rights, or the second one have more rights? So Amar Rav Nachman, ha milta ibayalan. This question was asked, v'shachol mitam, and they answered from there. Rishon kana. Okay, the first one has rights. Rav Huna amar yachloku. They split it 50-50. V'chein tana rabbi barvua yachloku. Okay, so now Amar Ravina, Mahadura kama de Rav Ashi amar lea Rishon Kana, Mahadura batra de Rav Ashi amar lan yachloku. First Rav Ashi said Rishon Kana, and then he changed his mind, Mahadura batra, right, the second Mahadura, right, like the second version, he said yachloku, he changed his mind. V'hilchata yachloku. Okay, the halach is yachloku. Now we're going to ask a question on this. We'll finish up the daf. Meitive, and this is the case we saw already today, l'shevach karkaot ketzav, remember the case where Judy improves the land. Haresha macharsa de la chavera vishbicha. Uba ba'achov v'tarfa. Right, and then the ba'achov comes and takes it. Right, Sherry comes, takes the land from Judy. Kishu goveg, when Judy comes to claim it, goveg ta'kerim minichasim shuabadim. V'tashevach minichasim minichorin. V'im ita chatzi shevach mibayale. If you want to say that we split it 50-50, then in theory, there's two people who have rights to that shevach. Judy has rights to it, and Sherry has rights to it. They were both, it was lean to both of them in theory. And therefore, it should have been that when Judy gets the shevach, she only gets chatzi shevach, because Sherry has rights to half of it. So the Gemara answers very simply and says, "My gover nami dekatani chatzi shevach." When it meant that she's gover the shevach, it means she's only gover chatzi shevach. She doesn't actually get the whole thing, because that shevach was lean to both of them. Basically, both of them had a lean on the shevach, and therefore it's one of those cases of, since they both have rights to it, yachloku.
Doesn't okay. It matter if when you took the original loan in Nissan, if you encumbered, if you put a lien on your entire property then, so why would the second person have any rights? In other words, to Garrett as collateral, you put up your entire property.
So again, the second guy only has rights to whatever's not, like the first guy again has first dibs. But now we're talking about that you bought something in addition. You bought something that wasn't leaned at the time. Right? So what's proven here, since we say yachloku, it seems clear that the shibud on the future property didn't actually take place in Nissan. The shibud, and maybe that's why we paskin that it does work, even if you say in adam makneh davar shelo ba'al olam, because the shibud only really takes place in Sivan, which means that at that point you've already got two loans out and the shibud takes place at the same time on both of them. They both have equal rights to it at that point, because it's... You're setting up the ground for the shibud, but nothing actually occurs with the shibud on the future possessions until the future possessions actually come into your hand. As soon as you purchase that land, boom, the shibud kicks in. And that's why we said also from the beginning that it was different from kinyan, because kinyan you have to actually do an act. Here there's no act you have to do to create the shibud. The shibud just happens on its own. As soon as you buy. The act is you acquire the property, and after you acquire the property, the shibud kicks in on its own. You don't need any particular act to do anything. So that's why it kind of works when you do it at some earlier point, it kind of clicks in later.
That's not how it works now.